to 5, beginning with verse 16. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. The book of James, chapter 5, and verse 16. You know what? Let me start from 13 again, please. Let's go from 13 and take in this whole text. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's very effective. And we've been talking about prayer. Today we would consider for our topic the power of prayer. The power of prayer. It's awesome to me to realize that if we believe the Bible, we can, through prayer, have access to a power that can change the course of history. When our beloved president was elected and things began to go, how it's gone, thank God it's changing a little. And I was, you know, I said, oh Lord, here we go. And then when the little brother in North Korea, they start cutting up, and still is, I said, Lord of mercy, here we go again. But then the Holy Spirit said to me this. So you're getting all upset and everything. Remember that you can be a part of that power that can change both of those men. That can change any leader, that can change anybody, because God in his power have changed wicked kings and rulers and those who were not following the right path in the Bible, as well as in world history. When the church prays, God promises in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that he will heal the land, forgive sins, but also heal the land. So you and I this morning can help to change the course of history. Instead of just talking about it, talking negative about it, and gossiping about it with one another, we can go to God in prayer and change the course of history. It has been done before. We've spoken of prayer as being part of our communication with God. Prayer is a two-way communication with God. It is strange and unfortunate that many times in our prayer we kneel down and say a few words of prayer and get up and go on our way, but we fail sometimes to be quiet and listen and remain open to hear what God would have to say about the prayer we have prayed. He might say no. He might say not right now. Or he might say, I've got your back. And he promises all of that. If he says no, it's better for us than if he would answer that prayer right now. If he says not right now, that means there is a better and a more perfect timing for that prayer to be answered. And so, in order to understand the great power, the magnitude of prayer, and the nature of prayer, I think that this week the Holy Spirit led my mind. So let's look at a fresh understanding of God's grace. We all know that the common definition is unmerited favor, blessing from God that we don't deserve. Bible said, even while we were yet sinners, God died. Christ died for the ungodly. So you want to look at a fresh understanding of God's grace. And we're talking about the power of prayer. The theologian teaches us that, give us three titles for for God and understanding God? Number one, he is omniscient, meaning he is all wise. Omniscient is where we get the word science from in English. He is all wise. His wisdom is not limited. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time at the same time. All the time at the same time. He's here, he's in Bahamas, he's in Africa, he's everywhere right now at the same time. And then God is omnipotent. Another word where we get our word dynamite and power from. He is omnipotent, all powerful. And so God's grace is this then. The grace of God does not just limit it to unmerited favor. The grace of God means that God deliberately chose to deprive himself of some of that knowledge and to forget as well as to forgive our sins. When he became human, when Christ came, when God came in the form of Jesus Christ. That's grace. That's grace. He deprived himself of some of that knowledge or that wisdom. He's all wise. To become a part or dwell with us, among us, so that he can forget and forgive us of our sins. And then grace also means that God is omnipresent, that he deliberately chose to surrender that sovereignty, that power, that high standing, and limit himself to time and space. And he became a man to dwell among us. He limited himself. You and I cannot put God in a box. We try to do it sometimes. But you know what God said in the psalm? He said to David, he said, when David first decided to build a temple, when God said, okay, I'm going to accept it, but I want to inform you of something. You cannot build no house to put God in, to put me in. He's so wide, the little kids sing in Vacation Bible School, so high you can't get over him, so low you can't get around him, so wide you can't get around him, you got to go through the gate. So God said, you cannot build no house to put me in. You cannot put God in any box. He's all wise, all powerful, almighty. He sees everything. David cries out in Psalm 139. He says, oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my down sitting. You know my uprising. You understand my thoughts are far off. You're acquainted with all my ways. And so, but God said to David, but I will allow you to build this house for my presence to dwell. My presence will dwell. God honored that. And so it is today we're here, we are praying that God's presence is with us as we meet in the designated place for worship each week. And so God stepped down from being omnipresent. So when Jesus came, he was in a small area during his ministry here on earth. But from that small location of ministry, his word went out in a ripple around the world. And today there are still many countries, many, many nations, many small countries and people groups that have never heard the word of God yet. They have never heard the gospel. They had a long sheet at the North American Christian Convention showing the people groups who have never heard the gospel. And we have missionaries that's going out in those areas. We used to pray in our day school. I used to pray in chapel and in our class every morning that God will touch the hearts of some of those students to become missionaries and preachers and workers for the Lord. And it's a blessing today that among men and young women, that about 9 are preaching the gospel. 5 I know of are pastoring. In fact, I forgot to announce that Fred Darby will be preaching a revival in October, there are 5 Tuesdays in October. So the third and the fourth Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock, we have a fall revival, and Bishop Fred Darby now has been elevated to bishop in his organization, and he will be preaching for us. And I taught him in fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, I guess. I can't remember. Gave the boy a lot of swats, but I'm glad he's preaching the gospel. All those preachers, I gave all those preachers swats. I'll tell you the truth. Or when they come, they talk about it. You know that. But five are pastoring. Five are pastoring. And I hope that God will touch many more of our young people. That they will go out and become Christian workers. Some as missionaries. And so God limited himself and came in his mighty power as a man amongst men. And then grace also means that God is omnipotent, that he is all-powerful, but that he also surrendered that power and took upon himself the weakness of the flesh. Jesus came in the flesh as a human being. Galatians 4:4 says, when the fullness of time was come, the right time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that was under the law. He walked among men, and he allowed them to spit in his face, to slap him, to whip him, with cuts open on his back, and he bled, to put the nails in his hand and his feet and pierce him in his side. He stepped down. He allowed them to do this. He surrendered himself from that mighty power. The song says he could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone to set us free. He told Peter, put up your sword, man. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were not so, I could call 12 legions of angels by the snap of a finger, and they'll come down to deliver me. But he denied himself. He surrendered his life in order to set us free. And so, what are we going to say then about how we can tap into this power of prayer? James is telling us here. He goes on to say in this text, listen again. Elijah was a man. This is verse 17, James 5:17. Elijah was a man with a nature just like you and me. He was a man just like you and me. But he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. A man just like you and me. So we prayed. We prayed, thank God. The hurricane was headed Category 5 straight for the islands and all like that. And we would have been, nothing would have been left. I mean, you don't have much left now from the last hurricane down to my home settlement. But we prayed. And lo and there, we were texting one another and said, we pray to God that it lose strength and diminish. I say, no. So I text back and say, we can go further than that. We can pray and ask God to change the direction of the hurricane. Or we can ask him to dissipate the hurricane, to just destroy it, take it out in the cold water and all like that. And so the direction changed altogether. In the beginning, it was headed straight across the islands and everything. And so your prayer, we have not even realized what we can do through prayer. 3.5 years, 6 months, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced fruit. And he was a man just like you and me. So prayer avails much. But listen to what it says now again. The effectual, fervent prayer, talking about a serious prayer of a righteous man, of one who is walking right in line with God. Not just anybody. So what do we do? First of all, we look into our lives to see if there's any ongoing sin in your life, in my life. That's the first step we have to take. We're just going to go to God and start talking. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. That's what the Bible says. So if there's any ongoing sin in our lives, we need to take it before God to the throne of grace, ask for his forgiveness. And then we can go to him in effective prayer. Other than that, we'll just be using words. Well, look at this now. What shall we say? The number one, we need to make our prayers fresh. We need to make it fresh. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7 that we should guard against vain repetition. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. He said, don't be like the hypocrites do, making vain repetition, especially when they're in public, speaking to impress people. And you know, some of the, we never preach much on or talk much about the short prayers of the Bible. Here's one. Peter is sees Jesus walking on the water. The storm is raging. Jesus said, Peter said, Lord, bid me to come to you. If that's you, tell me to come. And, you know, thank God for Peter. He was always putting his foot in his mouth, so to say. But at least he was the one who spoke up, and he's the one who got the blessing. Jesus said, come on. Jesus said, come on. When Jesus tell you, when God tell you to do something, you can go ahead and step out, no matter how the storm is raging. So Peter is walking. But the Bible says, when he saw the wind and the waves boisterous, that he began to sink. He began to sink. And that's the problem with you and I. When trouble comes, and we really look at the trouble and take our eyes off God, forget who God is. When we forget who God is, and that his power is unlimited, we put our eyes on the problem. And we had an old preacher here, I don't know if some of you remember, Wayne Shreve. Wayne Shreve used to say, Garvey, say, when we keep our eyes on the problem and focus on the problem only, we become a part of that problem. Amen. We say we need to take our eyes off the problem and put it on Jesus. When we take our eyes off God, remembering or forgetting who he is. No matter how the storm is raging, no matter what kind of trouble you are involved in that's hanging over you, no matter what the problem is, keep your eyes on God. Put your confidence in God. He is the fixer-upper. He can make that problem up. In fact, he turns it around into a blessing. That's what the Bible teaches. And Peter said a short prayer. He was sinking in the water. He said, Lord, save me. Three words. Lord, save me. That's a prayer. That's a prayer. And God hears and answers every prayer. It doesn't have to be a mile long or an hour long. Jesus reached out and took him, pulled him back up out of the water, and look at them and say, where is your faith? Where's your faith? So we go to God in confidence. We go to God in faith. We don't go to him with vain repetitions. For instance, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. The disciples, and Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven. We're differentiating him from our earthly father or anyone else. This is God who is in heaven. Hallowed be your holy and precious name. Your name is holy, reverent, high above every other name that is named in heaven or on earth. Hallowed, honorable. All majesty to your holy name. So we are recognizing God for who he is. We are honoring him. And then we pray, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're praying for God's kingdom to come, for God's kingdom to be established in this world. We are the kingdom of God. We're praying for God's will to be done. That's where a lot of us get in trouble. We follow our will, not God's will. Instead, in our prayer, when we pray, Lord, your will be done. In this same book of James, it's a powerful book. Come join us on Tuesday night. We're studying from this book. We're just in chapter 1 right now. James says, when you pray, don't talk about tomorrow, I'm going to go this way, I'm going to do this and do that. He says, you need to say, if the Lord's will, tomorrow, I'll do this or that. Did you get that? So we're praying. God gave them this mortal prayer. Thy will be done. Your will be done. So I kneel down and I say, God, thank you for another day. In Jesus' name, I glorify you. I praise you. I honor you. You are God Almighty. Thank you for your love and your mercy, extended mercy and grace. Thank you for waking me up this morning. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom. Let your kingdom come within my life today, within the world today. Let your kingdom come. And then I say, Lord, let your will be done in my life today. Not what I plan to do or want to do. Your will be done. Not just in me, but in the world around me. Let your will be done in the White House, in Washington, with Congress and with the senators, with in every high office. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The angels obey him and honor him and praise him and glorify him day and night. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we pray for God to sustain us and supply all our need. Give us this day. This is a fresh day. This is a new day. Give us this day our daily bread. And that does not mean just the Weber bread or whatever it is like that, or the ones that you make, but the bread means our daily need. Give us this day. Give us what we need today. See, money to pay the bills, money to, you know, whatever we need, God. We need wisdom for decisions to make. Give us this day, fresh, you see, our daily bread. And then we are praying for forgiveness. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. Forgive us. Forgiveness is something that can hold back God's blessing from us in many ways. Forgive us this day. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Remember in the case of Job, he went on in that book for 38 chapters when God began to talk to him. Say, okay, you've been in a lot of talking, Job. It's my time. And at the end of it, it said, and God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. He prayed for his friends. He told them they were all miserable comforters. He was angry with them because they were trying to tell him he was doing what he didn't do. But when he prayed for them, God turned his captivity, and then it goes on to say, and the latter end of Job was more blessed than the beginning. Hallelujah. And so we need, forgive us as we forgive our trespasses, as we forgive others. And one of the Bible scholars said, the right translation coming out of the Greek, Aramaic, the Greek, and so forth is this. And do not let us be led into temptation. You see the King James Version said, lead us not into temptation. God, the same book of James again, says when someone is tempted, don't say God tempt you, because God cannot be tempted, neither tempt he anyone. But a man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and desires. And then go to chain. Lust, when it's finished, bring forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, bring forth death. You're dead and gone. Bye-bye. Unless you repent and come back to God. So do not let us be led into temptation. Do not allow us to be led into temptation this day. But deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Robin just read from Isaiah 55, 54 down there. At the end says what? No weapons formed against you shall prosper. Oh, glory be to God. He is the all-powerful, almighty God. And we have all of this available to us, if we would go to him in prayer. So make our prayer fresh. Someone else say, some of the steps and the principles in prayer is this: be regular in prayer. We went through some of the ministries of Jesus, and every time we turn the page over, what? He's praying. He's in the mountain praying. He's up early before the sun comes up, early before dawn praying. He's in the garden praying. He's down by the seashore praying. He's everywhere praying. He's praying. So we need to be regular in our prayers. For instance, we wake up this morning and say, God, this is a new day. September 10, 2017, never seen it before, never came to this planet before. There will be opportunities, there will be blessings, curses, all sorts of things. Good news, bad news. Thank you for allowing me to be alive. In the name of Jesus. This is a new day, this is a fresh day. I put my life in your hands today. You go on with your fresh prayer. See, dear Mary, I'm sure there are things to pray for today then, too, that you have not prayed for before. But let our prayer be regular in the morning and in the evening before you retire. Instead of watching the Late Late Show. See, I was truly guilty sometime of that. See, we pray, and then even if we spend quality time in prayer and then go to bed and leave the television on, the last impression on your subconscious mind is going to be what you see. You might not think so. Who is it? Not me. I'm not thinking about that. That's what you think in your subconscious mind. See? And Satan is right standing by to play games with your mind. What if going to bed with prayer, your last activity, putting yourself in the hand of God in prayer, and maybe even thinking about the words of one of the great songs of faith, or some scripture, going to sleep with that on your mind. The Spirit of God, as He watches over you. Jesus, the Bible says, God neither slumber nor sleep. As He watches over you, He will prepare your hearts and minds as you sleep and rest for the next day. So prayer should be fresh and not only limited to morning and evening now, because we need to be, as we said, Jesus was last week. He was always in the attitude of prayer. The attitude of prayer. So you drive up to the job, park in the parking lot. May the Lord help no one to get in front of you and take your parking space. But anyway, you get a good parking space, you're going in and out, and you say, Lord, have mercy. I wonder what this devil's going to do today. Talking about your boss. Or maybe some other worker. And you say, man, oh man, I just hate to go in this job. But I got to do it because I got to pay my bills. Don't go with that attitude. You ought to jump with that car and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my boss, I pray for my co-worker. I pray that this be a blessed day, Lord. Change their hearts, turn their hearts, give them a new attitude, put them in the hands of God. Go ahead and do your work, get your promotion, get your money and spend it right. Put it in God's hand, that's the power of prayer. Don't just step out into the day. And then, you know, facing issues and problems and feeling defeated. And I love again what I said before, you know, we need to pray then from the position of victory, not for victory. So when you go in that office, you say, thank you, God. I've put it in your hand. I know this is going to be a good day. If something comes up, I'm going to be able to handle it. I thank you in the name of Jesus. Pray from, underline from, circle from, highlight from a point of victory, not for. The battle is already won. Jesus gave His life. The price is paid. He conquered death and the grave. I like that scripture in Colossians. It says that He made an open show of them when He had victory over death and the grave. The old preacher said Friday was something else. They whipped Him, flogged Him, nailed Him to the cross and all like that. But they forgot that Sunday was coming. And say, Sunday morning, glory be to God. God sent the angel, rolled the stone away. Not for Jesus, He was already out. That was for Mary and them to look in. But Sunday morning came. And all power now is available to you and to me. And the Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. Philippians 4:13. Now you got to remember these scriptures. If you're just reading them and quoting them, even quoting them and memorizing them, it means no good. We can do what? All things. It didn't say some things. All things through Christ. Through Christ now, who strengthens us. In the name of Jesus. All this power is available to you and to me today. So we need to be regular in our prayers. We need to be serious in our prayers. It's okay to have those memory lines and everything. But we ought to be serious because every day is fresh. Every time we kneel or every time we pray, it's fresh. And you can be in any posture of prayer and God will answer you. I was kneeling that night. I said, I got up. I said, I had to get up. I said, Gail. I said, man, I can't do much kneeling anymore. I felt my knees. I had to go and sit down and finish my prayer. But you can be in any posture. You can sit down. You can lay down. You can pray. Or be in an attitude of prayer. Take it to God. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. He's able to do exceeding abundantly. Above all that we can ask or think. Anything that you want for yourself, your family, your children. Anything, your husband, your wife, take it to God in prayer. He's able to change darkness into light, bad into good, make things right where it's wrong. Put it in his hand this morning. Give it to God. He can fix it up for you. As the old Negro spirituals say, he can fix it for you. Let God, that's how it goes like this. Let God fix it for you because he knows just what to do. Whenever you pray, just let him have his way. Let God fix it for you. I sing that back in the church in North Carolina. Let God do it for you. Let God fix it because he knows just what to do. We don't sometimes. We think we do. But sometimes the things we do make the situation worse. If we're not led by the Spirit of God. And listen to what he's given us besides that. He has given the Holy Spirit to lead our prayers, to intercede for us. And Jesus seated at his right hand also interceding for us. We can't go wrong if we are serious about God. If we're walking with him day by day, step by step, put yourself in the hand of Almighty God. So he says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer, serious prayer. Read it in some of the other translations. The effective, serious prayers. I mean, not just saying, mumbling something to say that you pray, but deep from your heart, the kind that comes deep from your heart and your soul from within. Is effective and have much power. May God bless you today as you put yourself and your situation in the hand of God. He can do it. He can do it. He can make it right. Whatever it is today in your life that you are facing, God can make it right. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you this day for everyone seated in this building. Please let your blessing fall upon each one. Please let your mighty anointing fall upon each one of us. Forgive us for our sins. Take away from our hearts and minds the things that should not be there and replace it with righteousness and holiness and truth and a determination to obey and follow you. Strengthen us where we are weak. Lift us up where we have fallen down. Put us on the right path that leads to life everlasting. Forgive us for where we fail you. Touch and bless each one today is our prayer in Jesus' name. God's people say, amen.